Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on grace versus the law was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Look at this in Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 6. It says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Contrasting the new covenant with the old covenant. They are not the same. They are not one in the same. You don't just mix them together. They're two different covenants. Ours is a better covenant. Verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he saith," and this is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31 in the Old Testament, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." The first covenant was dependent upon people obeying it. And because of that, that covenant could never make it because nobody could ever keep it. So the new covenant, all you have to do is believe and receive it. You don't have to live up to a standard. And that's one of the reasons that our covenant is so much better. In verse 9, it says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." In other words, there will be an intuitive knowledge instead of something external where you're beaten with a whip and made like a horse or a mule to go straight because of all of the punishments and stuff. It will be in your heart to serve God is the point that he's making. And in verse 11 it says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." People interpret this scripture all of the time that every one of the Jews is going to know God. Every Jew is going to come to the Lord. This is talking about the new covenant that we are under. We are now the house, the spiritual seed of Israel. You can read that in Romans chapter 3. It says, "He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he that's inwardly in the heart." And this is talking about that when you get born again, you don't have to just believe it because somebody told you about God. They may introduce you, but you will know it firsthand. You will have it revealed. He'll give you a heart. He will put his laws in your heart. You will know God personally. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Every person has to have their own special, individual, personal relationship with God. That's what this is talking about. It says, "They will all know me from the least unto the greatest." Every single born-again person has their personal relationship with God. And in verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." What a radical statement is that? You go into the average church and say, "God is merciful to you if you're unrighteous, and God doesn't remember your sins." And I guarantee you, you'd be stoned to death. You'd be kicked out of that church. Some of you are thinking, and if you preach this, what is going to restrain people from sin? Man, people are just going to take this as a license to sin. Well, you know what? People are doing pretty good at sinning without a license. And it's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ would constrain you. If you could ever, if you were truly born again, and if you understand how good God has been to you, which most people don't understand this because we're under the law that is just constantly showing his wrath and punishment. If you ever got a glimpse of how good God is, you would serve him better accidentally than you've ever served him on purpose before. Love will cause you to live a holier life than anything else. And you know, praise God that he gave me this opportunity and revealed the gospel to me and called me to preach it. Because there's a lot of people that if I was living in sin, if I had mistresses everywhere, and if I was stealing money, and if I was doing some of the things that so many preachers are doing today, then you know what? People would look at me and say, "No wonder you preach grace. It's just an occasion for you to go live in sin." But you know what? I could stack my holiness. This is not the right way to do it. Paul said that I'm talking like a lost man, but because people were thinking carnal, he got down there and he says, I'll talk carnal with you. If you just want to talk carnal, I bet you I could stack my holiness, my standard of righteousness up against any person in this room. And there might be a few people that would beat me, but very few. I am living a holy life. The grace of Christ does not lead me into sin. I'm living holier than most of you. So you cannot use this argument that if you preach grace, it'll just cause people to go live in sin. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. If a person truly understands the grace of God, it'll cause you to live holier, not less holy. But God says He will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. In that He saith, a new covenant He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The Old Testament law. How many scriptures do I have to read for you to understand that the law is not for the righteous man? It is not for the New Testament believer. And I didn't read them all. Tomorrow I'm going to talk from Galatians chapter 3, and the whole chapter is showing you that the law was only temporary until the seed should come, and Christ was the seed. There's many, 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 many more scriptures. I've only used about, 20 or 30 scriptures. But how many scriptures do you have to understand something? There's very few things in the Bible as established as the fact that we have a new covenant. You even have it in here, the old covenant. And see here, right here, it says the New Testament. That means that the other one is old. This is the new one. This is the superseding. And yet very few Christians have moved into the new covenant. We're living under the wrath, the judgment, and we wonder why things aren't better. I'm telling you, if you have the wrong image of God, which the law gave the wrong image, God wasn't wrong in giving it, but people interpreted it wrong. You know, I'm going to make this really quick. I'm trying to quit. I'll say this real quickly, but I had a horse given to me, and this horse, long story, but nobody could catch this horse. It was named El Shaddai, which meant more than enough, and that horse was more than enough. And anyway, when it was a yearling, they put a halter on this horse, and it had been out in pasture for 3 years, and its halter was growing into its muzzle. And the people were moving, and they had to have the horse gone by a certain date or they were just going to put it down. And so they gave me this horse. They gave me two horses. And I paid two cowboys $350 apiece to go catch those horses and break them for me. And they both went into the hospital. Those horses nearly killed them. They were just wild horses. And so it was just a few days away from when those horses were going to have to be put down. And I was praying, and God told me how to catch that horse. I hadn't got time to tell you, but I caught that horse. And when I caught that horse, I'm not a cowboy. I didn't know what I was doing. And that horse nearly killed itself. It went berserk. It ran, and it was spitting blood out of every part and things out of the other part. And that horse was running around in a circle around this railroad tie. And I got so scared, I went out and started to try and cut the rope. Jamie was with me, and I mean, it was scary. That horse, El Shaddai, was demon possessed. It was bad. And I was going to go cut the rope, but I couldn't get in there because the horse was running around so fast. And finally, this horse just pulled on that rope as tight as it could, and it was a slip knot, and it choked it, and it passed out and fell on the ground. So I went and sat on this horse's neck. And I took that old halter off and put a new one on and tied it in between two railroad ties. And when it finally came to and set up, it would just sit there and shake. And I could sit on it and ride it, and it was broke. I broke that horse's spirit. Those of you that are horse lovers, I apologize. I didn't mean to do it. I know there will be somebody get mad at me and say, you should never do this. I didn't know it. I actually saved that horse's life, believe it or not. And so anyway, my point is, this was a beautiful Arabian horse. And I'd drive up and I could see that horse in the pasture, and it'd have its head up, and it was a beautiful horse. And it'd see my green pickup and it'd put its head down and it'd just go shaking like this. And this horse had a totally wrong impression of me because of something I did. But it didn't understand that it was a desperate act and it was going to die if I didn't do it. And maybe that's not the right way to break a horse, but I saved that horse's life. It would have been dead if it wasn't for me. And so I'd get that horse and I'd talk to it and sing to it and pray in tongues over it. And I kept this horse for 2 or 3 years, and it always, every time it saw me, if you were riding it, you could feel it shake. It would just shake like this. It was petrified of me. It had a totally wrong impression of who I was. And I kept telling it, I said, I'm really not a mean guy. I said, I'm a really nice guy. I'm trying to help you, not hurt you. But it never did understand. I finally gave it away, and they made it a bucking bronco in the rodeo because it was good at that. But anyway, here's my point. Did you know what? When God gave the law, it was actually a stopgap measure. If he hadn't given the law, the human race would have been so polluted there wouldn't have been a virgin left for Jesus to have been born through. He didn't want to give the law. He waited 2,000 years, but he finally did it because it was either that or the destruction of the human race before he could bring the seed. And so he did it, and it had negative effects, and people misinterpreted the true nature of God and thought that God is this mean, harsh, angry God, and that is not God. Jesus showed us the express image of the Father, and he extended mercy to a very woman taken in the act of adultery. And instead of condemning her the way that the law said and killing her, he extended mercy to her because Jesus was the perfect representation. That's the way that God the Father really was. Jesus represented him perfectly. The law wasn't incorrect, it was incomplete. And it didn't show us God correctly. It gave people an impression of a mean, angry, harsh God. Jesus showed us a God who was willing to die for the publicans, for the sinners, to show mercy and grace to people. And he brought in a new covenant where he wasn't imputing people's sins unto him. But the problem is his followers have gone back to the old covenant, have been misrepresenting God and imputing people's sins and driving people from God. Most people believe God exists. They just don't think that they could ever live up to the standard, and they're mad because they've tried and failed and they've been condemned sometime or another, and they just don't want to, they just can't serve a God like that. If people knew how good God was, everyone would love him. But we have misrepresented God. We need to realign our message. We need to get back to the grace of God. Man, I've got a lot more to share. A lot more. I've just barely gotten started. So we'll continue again tomorrow. And I encourage you to come back if you can. Please get these CDs and DVDs, because I guarantee you, you aren't going to hear very many people say what I've said. It's right out of the Bible, but that doesn't have anything to do with what most people preach. I encourage you to go get this and listen to it, and it'll change your life. Is there anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus? Maybe you.
Andrew's complete life series is available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD. We'll send it to you in exchange for a gift of any amount. A single CD covering today's topic is also available free of charge to those who cannot send a gift. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.